Chicago police and federal agents today continue to investigate the murder of two family members of a federal judge. There is no word yet on who may have committed this crime, but the act has raised the question of the safety of federal judges. Earlier today, a U.S. district judge in Chicago called for the federal government to provide more security for judges and their families. Others contend, though, there are just too many judges for this to be plausible. Joining us now to talk about federal judges and security is Ron Allen, a professor of criminal law at Northwestern University. He joins us by phone from his office in Chicago. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
It's how unusual is it for such violence to occur against a federal judge?
Well, it's very unusual. In the last 20, 30 years, three judges have been killed. I mean, so in terms of the absolute numbers, it's quite small. Of course, in terms of the relative risk, I guess, you know, maybe it's a fair amount.
Mm-hmm. One thing that does tend to happen, the government tends to take the murder of federal judges very seriously.
Well, they take it very seriously, as indeed they should. And as indeed they take seriously the murder of any federal official.
Mm-hmm. Most people who appear before a judge, though, you say don't cause problems.
Well, I mean, they're two. The biggest sets of individuals are street crime people that state judges tend to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cause problems because they're, you know, they're basically solitary creatures. They're you know, imprisoned standardly for a long period of time, don't have lots of resources. Are not part of the network of that the judges are, and so on, and so they don't tend to bother the state judges. The more high-powered criminal types that the federal bench tends to deal with are organizational types, like the mafia, and they actually can't afford to do things like this because the federal government can shift resources around and go after institutions like a particular mafia family or a particular corporation or whoever it might be. There's an equilibrium there that the criminals can't disrupt, so they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So events like this tend to get done by this third category, thankfully the smallest of all, but it's the sort of idiosyncratic loner or you know, zealot or revolutionary. And as I say, thankfully the system doesn't have to deal with many of these types of individuals, and thankfully they don't do this very often, but they're the ones who tend to do it.
Obviously, there is no information on who did this crime, but there is suspicion that right-wing ideologues may be involved.
Well, there's suspicion, but the reason for that is simply problems in the past. No one at this point has any idea, so far as I'm aware, of who did it, and it. You know, I think we have to keep our minds open.
What is security typically like for a federal judge? Are they, you know, protected by the Secret Service or the equivalent?
Well, justices of the Supreme Court can have security details if they like them, but your question, I think, is the courts of appeals judges and the district court judges, and they don't tend to have security when they're off the premises. They do have it when there is a particular reason to think there's a problem, as there was in Lefkoe's case, actually, with respect to a white supremacist, Matt Hale, who eventually was sent to jail for plotting to murder her, interestingly. But that only lasted for like 6 or 7 weeks, I believe, and there was nothing particular, no particular security surrounding her off the premises of the courthouse when all this happened. The courthouse itself is pretty secure with metal detectors and things like that.
Yet, in this case, of course, it was the judge's family that seemed to be the target. And again, this could have been a personal matter. We don't know.
We don't know. The early signs are that it was some kind of targeted event. What I mean by that is it doesn't look to have been burglary or anything of that sort. You know, that makes you think that they entered the house to kill whoever was there, and it was by happenstance who was found. But as I say, at this point, it's really just marginally better than rank speculation.
The bigger problem, you say, is actually the intimidation of witnesses.
Absolutely right. And that's a serious problem. When I say it's a serious problem, I want to be clear about what I mean by that. I'm talking about with respect to the administration of justice. I mean, obviously, what happened to Judge Lefkoe is a serious problem, and one cannot, you know, don't want to suggest anything to minimize the grief and horror and all that. But in terms of the effect of it on the criminal justice system or the civil justice system, if anything, it makes judges and prosecutors more diligent, not less diligent. And so, in fact, the what's attempted to be accomplished through this form of intimidation, it comes out exactly the opposite. That was, of course, my point to you of a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to witnesses, it's a different story. Witnesses can, in fact, be intimidated, and when they don't testify, there's not much a judge or the prosecution or anybody can do. And this has been a serious problem. Moreover, witnesses and many of the perpetrators who they are testifying against do come from the same social milieu, same social class, often live in the same neighborhood, and thus the availability for intimidation is high. It's in that set of the cases, if you will, in which the system, both criminal and civil, but particularly criminal, is significantly adversely affected. I mean, we went through years.
Ron Allen, I'm afraid we're out of time, but thank you very much for being with us today.
You're quite welcome.
Ron Allen, a professor of criminal law at Northwestern, joined us by phone from his office in Chicago. This is NPR.